WZEZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz. And mass firings continuing at federal agencies, including the U.S. Nuclear Agency and health agencies. ABC News has confirmed more than 1,000 probationary employees at the CDC being told this afternoon they're out of a job. ABC's Rachel Scott has more.
The Trump administration taking its sweeping efforts to shrink the size of the federal workforce one step further, ordering agencies to lay off nearly all probationary employees, meaning those hired within the last 1 or 2 years. A move that could impact as many as 220,000 federal workers. At the Department of Veteran Affairs alone, more than 1,000 new workers were dismissed.
The White House says President Trump expected to sign an executive order that would strip schools of federal aid if they mandate COVID vaccines for students. Currently, no states require them, so the directive will be mostly symbolic. After 2 months of healthy gains, retail sales in the U.S. dropped nearly 1% in January from the previous month, that according to the Commerce Department. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking residents to donate to their Endangered Resources Fund through their state income tax forms. According to a press release, the agency will match all donations made through the tax forms, with all of the funding going towards conservation efforts for rare plants, animals, and natural areas across the state. They will also help the agency combat the spread of invasive species like the emerald ash borer. The donations line can be found in the Schedule 3, Part 1A of the income tax form. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin held a virtual town hall on Thursday to speak with residents about the priorities for and challenges facing the state's northern regions. Senator Baldwin expressed her support for various projects to replace lead service pipes, increase housing and childcare options, and protect waterways from invasive species and climate change. She also noted conversations with former Wisconsin Congressman and now Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy regarding the importance of the Blatnik Bridge reconstruction project. A Bayfield woman who abandoned her kids and fled the scene of an accident has been sentenced. According to court documents, 32-year-old Casey Gokey entered a no-contest plea to charges of neglecting a child and abandonment of a child on Tuesday. She was sentenced to serve 90 days in jail unless she completes a substance abuse assessment and maintains absolute sobriety. Gokey was arrested after law enforcement authorities received a report of her 9-year-old and 5-year-old being left behind in her car following a 1 a.m. collision in June. Ashland residents can once again access the Vaughn Public Library at their new temporary location. According to city officials, the library is currently operating out of the former CESA 12 building near the Beezer School building, while the original library facility undergoes renovations. They expect the library to operate out of their temporary location until January or February next year, when those renovations are finally completed. The city will also need to pay $11,000 in rent each month for use of the CESA 12 building. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the NBA All-Star Game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Damian Lillard was just 9 years old when his father took him to the NBA All-Star Game at the Oakland Arena, not far from where they lived. They saw Tim Duncan, Shaquille O'Neal. This weekend, at age 34, Lillard will perform in his 9th All-Star Game as a player just across the bay in San Francisco.
Something that I'm extremely proud of, proud to be a part of it, and just being in that environment and so many people that I grew up with, that I grew up around. And, you know, people who really know me and know my background and my story to be able to see how far I've come. I'm excited for them to be able to see that.
College basketball, big game for Wisconsin tomorrow, taking on number 7th-ranked Purdue in West Lafayette. Game time at noon. Greg Gard was on the Jim Rome Show.
I think just how this roster was intentionally put together, and then it's up to the players to perform and bond together and grow. And this group has done a terrific job of that.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A winter weather advisory starts at 5 o'clock and goes into the night. Snow, heavy at times, looks to put down 1 to 2 inches this evening, with another 1 to 3 expected overnight. There'll likely be some light snow still lingering early tomorrow morning. Otherwise, it'll be a blustery day with winds blowing and drifting the fresh snow around. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 13 degrees at our studios.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for
Up North
News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, it is hump day. Happy Wednesday. I hope you are having a most excellent week. You know, given all the circumstances and goings on, you are listening to The Matt Yudon Show. I am your host, Matt Yudon. I got Aaron Zommers with me today, helping me out in the booth. Thank you, Aaron, and welcome to each and every one of you. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a great show for you today. Very excited about this one. I've been thinking about the content of this particular show for quite some time, at least the specifically the first hour of this show for quite some time. And in the second hour, I'm so excited. We're going to be talking with State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe. She's from the 16th Senate District. That should be a bunch of fun. She told me ahead of time she wants to talk about the Super Bowl and a few of the dishes that she likes to whip up for her Super Bowl parties because, yes, elected officials are regular people, too. So we're going to have some fun with Senator Ratcliffe. And, of course, at the bottom last half hour of the show at 3:30, as you will find every Wednesday at 3:30, we've got our segment called Over the Hump and Trump. It's about, you know, how do we come together? How do we put politics aside for a little while? How do we connect with one another? Got something really timely and special for you today. I cannot wait to share it with each and every one of you. So please stick around. But I wanted to start today, and I may start doing this every day, with a few quick things. Because it seems that every day there are at least a few quick things that we need to talk about, given, again, the fire hose that is the Trump 2.0 administration. So I wanted to start with this. I've talked, and yesterday spent the first hour talking about the laundry list of things that have been going on, the parade of horribles, if you will, that have been going on in the Trump administration. And you know, how do we keep going in the face of all of that? And we're going to kind of continue that discussion a bit today. But one of the items I mentioned yesterday was Trump and Elon Musk basically trying to shutter USAID, which is one, a national intelligence agency. Two, USAID employees help distribute all kinds of humanitarian relief when there are terrible disease outbreaks, when people and children especially are starving to death. They are often working alongside members of our military in active combat zones. They have helped in the past, in the former Soviet Union republics, help them stand up new democratic forms of government. It's been a key cornerstone of U.S. foreign policy. And if foreign policy isn't your bag, think of it this way. It is one of the agencies that helps establish the United States as a global power. It helps us remain a leader, both in thought, but also in preserving the dignity of every human and fighting for equality and fair treatment. News today is that Donald Trump has ordered all 10,000 plus employees of USAID to go on leave starting Friday. This is not good for the United States. It's not good for the world. It's not good for our role as a leader. It is isolationist claptrap going back quite some time. And yet, Donald Trump said one of the stupidest things that isn't a very isolationist approach to foreign policy yesterday at the White House after meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu and holding a press conference. And Mr. Zomers, if you would play the stupid thing that he said.
I don't want to be a wise guy, but the Riviera of the Middle East, this could be something that could be so bad. This could be so magnificent.
I'm sorry. What did you just say, sir? He's talking about the United States taking control of Gaza, basically engaging in ethnic cleansing and pushing all of the Palestinians out of Gaza, taking both military and governmental control of Gaza. And then he starts talking about it like the hotel developer he is. We're going to build the... This is the stupidest thing anybody has heard. Now, I've promised you all not to focus on the stupid things that the man says, but rather on what he does. And interestingly, today, perhaps in a reflection that even those working for Donald Trump have figured out that he says really stupid things, the White House had to clarify earlier about 1 o'clock Central Time that the U.S. isn't actually sending troops or any additional money to Gaza. Why do I bring this up? Well, because there is no coherent concept in Trump's approach to these things, right? Like, you're shutting down USAID, you're in the next breath, you're saying, I'm going to take over Gaza and throw up a Trump hotel there, right? Like, these are not compatible foreign policy philosophies. But what all of this points to is the fact that we have to think of our values first. And we're going to spend a goodly amount of this first hour talking about the values, the things that actually unite us as Americans that I think the vast majority of us agree with. I also wanted to take this opportunity to point out that my colleague Todd Alba, who's got that great show before mine, has written an absolutely fantastic piece about his personal experience with USAID and his view of why it is such an essential U.S. agency. You're going to want to check that out. It's at the Recombobulation Area. You can also find that on the Civic Media website. So that's the first quick thing, is Donald Trump making no sense. There's no foreign policy fundamental philosophy. He's just all over the place. So we got to rise above that. Think of our values. What is the role that we all wish to see the United States to take in the world through the lens of the values that we want to see the United States express and uphold and uplift as a foreign policy and as a global superpower? So that's thing one. I'm going to come back to that. Thing two today is there was a big old protest at the Capitol around 11 a.m. this morning. It is part of a 50-state protest that is going on. It is called the 5051, so 50501 Movement. You can find out more about it at 5051movement.carrd.co. We're going to put that website, don't worry, in the show notes for today. It is a 50-state, 50-protest on one day. Basically, a guerrilla protest campaign started on Reddit and a bunch of social media accounts, Blue Sky and Discord, to protest Donald Trump's approach to his second term. Had that in Madison today, so that's two quick things. The third quick thing today is we are back to the shady and the shameless, the shill, otherwise known as Brad Schimmel. Yes, the shady, shameless Schimmel apparently has now put out an ad attacking his opponent, Susan Crawford, but used AI allegedly to alter the image to make her look really grim and dour. Of course he did. Manipulated the image. Interesting to note, though, that Governor Evers just last year signed a piece of legislation, bipartisan legislation, that prohibits doing exactly that, prohibits the use of AI to alter images without disclosing it, which can result in a $1,000 fine. I wonder if this is going to be added to the ethics complaint, Mr. Zomers, that was filed yesterday against Judge Schimmel. I certainly will be looking to see whether they tack that one on. He's had a bit of a hard time following the rules.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of things added on by the time this is all said and done.
Right. Just keep talking, Brad. You shameless, shameless, shady shill, Brad Schimmel. Quick thing number four is that a federal judge has now, at least for the time being, issued an indefinite enjoinder or restraining order against Donald Trump's birthright citizenship executive order. Again, yeah, presidents can't, just draw a line through certain parts of the Constitution and poof, they're gone. It's not like, you know, the president using a Sharpie on a map of a hurricane to just expand the hurricane's path because, you know, he thinks so. It doesn't work like that. And thing five, finally, Fox News has taken the fig leaf of legitimacy away. Yes, folks, Lara Trump, the president's daughter-in-law, getting her own show on Faux News. It was only a matter of time before the whole thing gets relabeled MAGA News or Trump News or Trump Talking Points, because that is basically all it is. Of course, this coming on the tail of both CBS, Paramount, ABC basically capitulating to Donald Trump in these bogus lawsuits, writing him checks for tens of millions of dollars. A real shame, driving out excellent journalists like Jim Acosta, Jake Tapper leaving CNN. This is not good. But again, at least Fox embracing who they really are. No more fig leaf. They're just going to throw the Trump family members right on as anchors. Don't bother with the interviews. Just put them right on there as anchors. Okay. So those were my five quick things, a handful of quick things. I think I'm going to start every day with a few quick things because there's a lot going on today. But let me tease what we're going to spend the rest of the hour talking about, because you're not going to want to go anywhere. It is indeed difficult times. It is hard to stay engaged. It is difficult to maintain your resilience, to keep the resistance going. We're going to focus on how to do that, and I think some divine, yes, divine words of encouragement and wisdom heard within the past few weeks. I'm going to share those with you and some of my ways that I keep my resilience, my resistance, and all of my energy up in these very, very dark, confusing, and chaotic times. So important for us to come together. One of the questions I want to ask each and every one of you and ask you to join this great conversation is, what do you do to help keep your resilience up? And in addition, what was the moment or moments or experiences that made you care so much about what's going on in these United States, liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican? If you're listening, I'm guessing that you care a little bit about what's going on in this country. What made you care so much? What keeps you engaged every day as we move forward together as a country? 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I got Somers with me in the production booth. My senior producer, Jamie, helping us out manage all those texts as your feedback starts coming in. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. My name's Maggie Dawn. When we come back, we're going to talk about keeping your energy up in these dark days of Trump 2.0. Keep it locked.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Ziplining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. and dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from, with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called a switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes, there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you are just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking today for this first hour in this fine program about how you keep your resilience, your energy up in this second Trump administration. There's so much stuff every single day, so much of it dark and bad and divisive. I think so many people I hear from friends and former colleagues that have worked in government and friends that have paid attention to politics for many years telling me I have to stop paying attention. I have to disengage. And I've been having conversations with them, often very difficult, about please, please don't do that. This is the time where we have to stay engaged, no matter what side of the spectrum you may be coming from, whether you're left or right, again, Democratic or Republican. Let's keep paying attention. So how do we do this? How do we keep our engagement going? How do we keep our energy up? And I wanted to share with you all a little bit of how I do that every day, because I come here to be with each and every one of you, whether we agree on all things or not, or even disagree about most of them. And I've been asked by friends, hey, Max, how do you do this every day? You gotta get on there, gotta be all excited. How do you do it? Well, I've always been a person that has given 110% to the things that I get involved in. So that's partly just baked into the Maggie cake, if you will. But since Trump won back in November, every day I've had to check back in with why do I care? What are my whys? Why did I ever work in government? Why did I leave a very lucrative, successful career in the private sector, sort of the pinnacle of the law practice, of the practice of law? Why did I leave that to come to public service? What has been motivating me my whole life to give 110%, to care this much, to not phone it in, as it were? And I wanted to share that with you and ask you all, what are your whys? Why do you care? No matter what your political philosophy is, if you're listening and you're engaged, why do you care so much? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But I have three basic whys. And the first one occurred to me, or I had this experience when I was a real little kid. I was in grade school. And there was only one woman of color, a girl of color, a black girl in my class when I was in grade school. And I went to a small little Catholic grade school in Milwaukee on the northwest side. And one day I heard some of my classmates making fun of her hair. And they began to bully her relentlessly. And they used a racial epithet. And without really knowing what I was doing, or frankly, why I was doing it, I was up out of my chair, pushing them back off of her and telling them to leave her alone. And for whatever reason, for the entirety of my life, I have never, ever liked a bully. And in fact, everything about me has always wanted to push back against bullies, to stick up for people getting picked on an individual basis or the groups of people that society has picked on or told us are less than us. So that's my one why. I will always fight a bully. And it's the main reason I became a lawyer, to speak up for other people. And that brings me to my second why, which is no matter what, for whatever reason, ever since I was a little kid, I was always the one that wanted to speak up and to tell the truth. And frankly, to tell the truth to power, to ask why, to demand better, to express what I think and what I still see sometimes as injustice or unfairness. So that's my second why. I've always wanted to do that. It's, again, part of why I became a lawyer. And my third why I got from my parents, and it was the desire to make things better, to serve, to make it better, to make it work better, whether that's government or care that my mom provided to patients as a nurse. But let's make it better. Let's make it more efficient. Let's make it more effective. And that's really why I wanted to become an economist. It is these whys to stand up to bullies, to tell the truth to power, and to freaking make it better. These are the things that help me every day get out of bed and continue to do this. I also think there are things that most of us as Americans also believe in. So they are the things that I hope can connect me to people even when we disagree. If you want to share your whys, you can join us on the text or phone lines, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Anne from Chippewa Falls sharing her why, that it is her kids. I'm sure many out there, Anne, are nodding along with you. While I don't have kids, I am Aunt Maggie to many, many of my best friends' children, and I know how passionately their kids motivate them every day. Matt from Middleton says that he cares too much to ever detach. I applaud you, Matt. I hope you share that sentiment with everybody who will listen to you. And Matt raises a question. People do seem to be detaching and disengaging and trying to separate from reality and a general unwillingness to see things as they truly are. Well, Matt, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that's what the second half of this hour is going to be all about. How do we see things as they truly are? How do we find wisdom, and how do we find the strength, the energy, the resilience, the resistance to then give voice to the things as they really are? My name's Maggie Dawn. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. It's 855-752-4842. John from Oshkosh texting in that he, like Anne, his kids are his why, his two daughters. Now more than ever, John says, I need to be their protection, to stick up for them. I need to fight for their independence and their future. John agrees. I, too, will fight bullies. I'm here with you, John. I hope you all are here with John and I and Ann and Matt, and join our great conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Tom from Jackson saying that he stands up for people's safety. Yeah, I think that's part of why I like to stick up to the bullies, because bullies, whatever their form, no matter how many billions they may have, generally make people less safe. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids calling out Monty Python's Eric Idle song at the end of the movie, The Life of Brian. Always look on the bright side of life. I love that film. I'm a huge Monty Python fan. We come back, we get inspired together. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Happy Valentine's Day. But it can be anything but happy if you or a loved one is involved in a romance scam. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. Michelle Ryan, administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection in Madison, says that these romance scams occur online, coercing the victim to believe they're really in love. And trying to extract them from that romance scam can be difficult.
Often this results in hundreds of thousands of dollars being lost and transferred. We hear stories where an individual was so connected to the scammer, they believed the romance was true and legit, even though they'd never met the person in real life, and it they were pretend overseas. But the bank had to do what we refer to as divorce them, because they would no longer transfer that amount of money to this scammer for fear of what it was actually supporting overseas.
Michelle Reinen, division administrator at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. She says if you're considering an online dating site or app, research any warnings about the service before you sign up for an account. If you're contacted by an online suitor, take it slow. Ask a lot of questions and look for inconsistent answers. Also, check the person's photo using the search by image feature in your search engine. If the same picture shows up with a different name, that's a red flag.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
And 52-year-old Texas native Brooke Rollins has been sworn in as the 33rd U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary. Rollins previously served as the founder, president, and chief executive officer of the America First Policy Institute. During President Trump's first administration, she was the director of the Domestic Policy Council and assistant to the president for strategic initiatives in the White House. She is a graduate from Texas A&M University. That's Food News on a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A winter weather advisory starts at 5 o'clock and goes into the night. Snow, heavy at times, looks to put down 1 to 2 inches this evening, with another 1 to 3 expected overnight. There'll likely be some light snow still lingering early tomorrow morning. Otherwise, it'll be a blustery day with winds blowing and drifting the fresh snow around. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 11 degrees.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Monday, we'll be back live. We check in with our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay. Plus, follow-up from the resignations at the SDNY over dropping charges against Mayor Eric Adams. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
One.
talking in my sleep at night, making myself
crazy. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. If you are just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I come to you every day across our talk radio network from 2 to 4 p.m. You can also find all my old episodes on Spotify and Apple Pods and at Civic Media's website. Today, we're talking about your whys. Why do you care? Whatever your political bend may be, why do you care? And assuming that you do care, how do you keep your energy up? And for me specifically, how do I keep my energy up? How do we keep our energy up to continue to be resilient and to resist? And I wanted to share with you today the sermon that was given by the Right Reverend Mary Ann Buddy, an evangelical reverend who heads the D.C. Church of the she leads the D.C. Church, the National Cathedral. And so at the National Cathedral, the day after Donald Trump's inauguration, they had a church service. Donald Trump and his whole family and J.D. Vance, they were all there. The Episcopal Church, thank you, Mr. Zommers, helping me out there, my producer today. And when I watched her sermon from that day, it brought me to tears again and again. And in the same time, it gave me so much inspiration, so much hope. Because what this very small woman in a shaky voice did in America's National Cathedral was she spoke truth to power. Power that was sitting mere feet from her. And she had no real authority other than the fact that she happened to be the head of the Episcopal's National Cathedral, in which this ceremony is had every year. But her authority in that moment, her power, despite her small frame and her shaky voice, her power came from saying the things that she knew to be true, or at least giving it her best gosh darn effort. And in interviews afterwards, Bishop and Reverend Buddy referenced the American theologian Howard Thurman as her inspiration. He wrote of the sound of the genuine, that when you speak and you give voice to what is true and real, it resonates with authority that you, the individual, may not have. It resonates with power. It is impactful beyond what you, the individual, may be able to impact. And so her endeavor that afternoon was to touch upon fundamental principles, the basic values that she hoped we all agree upon. And in those words, I found inspiration. I heard my why reaffirmed, expressed differently in this woman's shaky voice. And it also wasn't lost on me that she spoke from the Canterbury pulpit itself, said to have been brought to England by William the Conqueror and used in the Canterbury Cathedral itself. It is where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his final Sunday sermon mere days before he was assassinated. And its central carving on the Canterbury pulpit is the signing of the Magna Carta, an 809-year-old charter that established that the King of England was not above the law. So I wanted to share with each and every one of you today some of the words that Bishop Right Reverend Mary Ann Buddy spoke at the National Cathedral on January 21st this year. So Aaron, let's get started, shall we? We're going to go through cut five to begin and then cut six right away. Here, the bishop is addressing what unity is and what it means in America. Let's take a listen.
As a country, we have gathered this morning to pray for unity as a people and a nation. Not for agreement, political or otherwise, but for the kind of unity that fosters community across diversity and division, a unity that serves the common good. It is not conformity. It is not victory. It is not polite weariness or passivity born of exhaustion. Unity is not partisan. Rather, unity is a way of being with one another, that it encompasses and respects our differences, that teaches us to hold multiple perspectives and life experiences as valid and worthy of respect, that enables us in our communities and in the halls of power to genuinely care for one another, even when we disagree.
That is the voice of Right Reverend Bishop Mary Ann Buddy, speaking to and addressing President Donald Trump the day after his inauguration from the Canterbury Public in the National Cathedral. She continued, she pointed out the importance of not just saying the right things, but doing the right things.
And Jesus went out of his way to welcome those whom his society deemed as outcasts. Now, I grant you that unity in this broad, expansive sense it's aspirational. And it's a lot to pray for. It's a big ask of our God, worthy of the best of who we are and who we can be. But there isn't much to be gained by our prayers if we act in ways that further deepen the divisions among us. Our scriptures are quite clear about this, that God is never impressed with prayers when actions are not informed by them. Nor does God spare us from the consequences of our deeds, which always, in the end, matter more than the words we pray.
Powerful words, again, from a small woman with a shaky voice. And she addressed contempt and how it destabilizes our country, our unity, and frankly runs against the most basic tenets of Christianity. Cut 9, Aaron.
Because the culture of contempt that has become normalized in this country threatens to destroy us. We are all bombarded daily with messages from what sociologists now call the outrage industrial complex. Some of that driven by external forces whose interests are furthered by a polarized America. Contempt fuels political campaigns and social media, and many profit from that. But it's a worrisome, it's a dangerous way to lead a country.
Again, folks, that's the voice of Reverend Marianne Buddy addressing Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, the Trump family, and the nation on January 21st. At this point, she then pivots to the real core of her sermon that day about the basics of human dignity, about what it means to fight for human dignity, and what she calls the three foundations of America's unity. Aaron?
Unity in this country is possible. Not perfectly, for we are imperfect people and an imperfect union. But sufficient enough to keep us all believing in and working to realize the ideals of the United States of America, ideals expressed in the Declaration of Independence with its assertion of innate human equality and dignity.
And so she goes on to lay out the three foundations of unity, of American unity, which also, incidentally, are core pillars of Christianity, which our current president claims to be. Let's listen to Foundation 1 of unity.
Let me suggest that there are at least three. The first foundation for unity is honoring the inherent dignity of every human being.
Yes. The dignity of every human being. So what does dignity require?
Honoring each other's dignity means refusing to mock or discount or demonize those with whom we differ. Choosing instead to respectfully debate our differences, and whenever possible, to seek common ground. And if common ground is not possible, dignity demands that we remain true to our convictions without contempt for those who hold convictions of their own.
Bishop Buddy then went on to explain the second foundation of unity and Christianity.
Second foundation for unity is honesty in both private conversation and public discourse. If we're not willing to be honest, there's no use in praying for unity because our actions work against the prayers themselves. We might, for a time, experience a false sense of unity among some, but not the sturdier, broader unity that we need to address the challenges that we face.
So, as Bishop Buddy is explaining, the foundation of unity in this country, in fact, deeply held Christian values, require first an acknowledgement of the innate dignity of every human being, and secondly, a commitment to honesty. But honesty is not always easy.
We don't always know where the truth lies, and there's a lot working against the truth now. But when we do know, when we know what is true, it's incumbent upon us to speak the truth, even when, especially when, it costs us.
Not the profiteering of contempt and hate, but to speak the truth, especially and even when it costs us. Third and finally, Bishop Buddy tells us the foundation of our American unity, of this American project in democracy, and of course, a core tenet of Christianity, is humility.
And the third and last foundation I'll mention today is foundation for unity is humility, which we all need because we are all fallible human beings. We make mistakes. We say and do things that we later regret. We have our blind spots and our biases, and perhaps we are most dangerous to ourselves and others when we are persuaded without a doubt that we are absolutely right and someone else is absolutely wrong. Because then we are just a few steps from labeling ourselves as the good people versus the bad people. And the truth is that we're all people. We're both capable of good and bad.
So, the foundation, the third foundation of this American unity project, a value of Christianity, is humility. The acknowledgement that we may not be right, that we may in fact be biased and have blind spots. And Bishop Buddy tells us more what humility requires.
And the more we realize this, the more room we have within ourselves for humility and openness to one another across our differences, because in fact we are more like one another than we realize, and we need each other.
We need each other. Folks, if you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. We're listening to the words of Reverend Marianne Buddy just a couple of weeks ago on January 21st, addressing Donald Trump, our president, J.D. Vance, our vice president, and the entire Vance and Trump families, and indeed the nation, calling for a return to American unity rooted in the acknowledgement that all human beings deserve dignity, that we must commit, secondly, to tell the truth, to be honest, even when costly, and thirdly, that we must approach this project with humility, because we are all, indeed, fallible. When we come back after these brief messages, she tells us what's at stake and makes a final plea to our president. We're taking some inspiration from the words of Bishop Marianne Buddy today. Please keep it locked. Come back with me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This first hour of the show, I'm talking with each and every one of you about how we maintain our energy, our engagement, the very will to resist some of Donald Trump's worst impulses. And even if you are a Trump supporter, why do we care about these things? Why don't we just tune it all out? Right? There's so many things that can grab our attention now. But if you're listening, my guess is you probably do care very much about the future of our country, the future of your kids. And you may have some very particular views about what and how we should do these things and accomplish these next goals or face these challenges. And I've brought to you today to share with you my three whys, why I care, why I'm engaged, which are: I can't stand bullies. Secondly, I've always wanted to tell the truth, to speak it as best I can, to tell the truth to power. And thirdly, and finally, I've always wanted to make things work better, be more effective, more efficient. And as I've gotten older, I've tried to do these things with increasing levels of humility. We all think we know it when we're young. Turns out we don't. And I've, in the second half of this first hour, turned to the words of Bishop Mary Ann Buddy, who spoke to the nation, but very specifically spoke to our president, Donald Trump, from the Canterbury pulpit the day after Donald Trump was elected president. Sworn in on January 21st. And she said that our American project requires unity, not agreement on everything. That's not possible, but unity. And she further said that this idea of American unity requires three things: the acknowledgement of the dignity of every human being. Secondly, a commitment, even when personally costly, to tell the truth. And thirdly, the humility to understand that we're all fallible, that we may get it wrong. She spoke mere feet from Donald Trump and addressed him very specifically. And towards the end of her sermon on January 21st, she told us what is at stake if we fail in this American project, in this need for unity in our country.
It's a lot harder to realize when we're dealing with real differences in our private lives and in the public arena. But without unity, we're building our nation's house on sand.
So the bishop is telling us, if we cannot find our way to observe and pay fidelity to these three foundations of the American project, and frankly, the foundations of Christianity, these foundations that include acknowledgement of the dignity of every human, the fearlessness to tell the truth, even when costly, and thirdly, again, the humility to be open to other people's ideas and that we may be wrong, our nation will indeed fall. But what she said last, she addressed directly at President Trump. She made one final plea.
Let me make one final plea, Mr. President. Millions have put their trust in you. And as you told the nation yesterday, you have felt the providential hand of a loving God. In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger, for we were all once strangers in this land.
The words of Bishop Marianne Budde addressing Donald Trump specifically, a plea for mercy. And in her closing words, she reminds us what our American project requires.
May God grant us the strength and courage to honor the dignity of every human being, to speak the truth to one another in love, and walk humbly with each other and our God for the good of all people in this nation and the world. Amen.
That is strength. That is power, because it is true, not because of who she is or the money in her bank account, but because she spoke the truth. So in these times that are so challenging for all of us, I ask you to find your whys, to reengage with the values that you hold dear, and find a way to mercy. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. When we come back, an interview with State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe. Keep it locked.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, are you exhausted, tired, fed up? We get it, but we want you to get involved. Luann Bird is going to join us to talk about ways to keep going. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. New details on the final moments before that mid-air collision in D.C. last month.
NTSB investigators say they have now confirmed through data the Black Hawk helicopter was flying at an altitude of 278 feet above the 200-foot limit, but they're looking into the possibility the Black Hawk pilots were getting bad data in the cockpit and may have thought that they were lower. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy.
There may be bad data. We're looking at, were they seeing something different in the cockpit?
Her team has found just before the crash, the American Airlines regional jet drastically tried to increase pitch. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Andrew Lester, the Kansas City man charged with shooting an unarmed black teen who knocked at his door in 2023, entered a guilty plea to second-degree assault today. 16-year-old Ralph Yarrow mistakenly went to Lester's home to pick up his younger brothers after a play date. And flu activity has not peaked yet. The CDC says 30 million flu illnesses have been reported. This is ABC News.
I'm James.